Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 7, the verses 36 through 50. You may notice in your bulletins there is an outline of this morning's message, and on the back of that outline is the scripture reading from Luke chapter 7. The Bible that is in your pew is not of the same version that I'll be reading from, so I encourage you, if you want to follow along in the same version, that you follow along from the outline on the back of the outline in your bulletins. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and errant word from Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Thus the reading of God's word from Luke chapter 7, beginning 36 through 50. And keep in mind as well the outline, the opposite side of the scripture reading, so you can follow along with today's message. Well, there are many who say that the parable of the two debtors is one of the most neglected parables in all the scriptures. The parable is only found in the Gospel of Luke. It is made up of only two verses. And what's more, you find the parable in the center of a larger story. Maybe that's why it is so neglected, because it does not stand on its own, but at the center of a larger story. But this little parable has a powerful, powerful gospel message. As we've seen other places in the Gospels, there is great meaning in the fact that this parable is placed at the center of this story. In the Gospels, we call it known as sandwich technique. Sandwich technique means that God has inspired the Gospel writer to place the parable at the very center of the story, because that's the meat of the meaning of the story. On the outside, we have the sandwich, the bread of the sandwich, which helps us understand the meat, the powerful message, so that we know and understand the purpose of this parable. Standing at the center of our text, we have this parable of the two debtors directed right at a specific Pharisee, Simon, who is even asked by Jesus to explain the meaning of the parable. On the outer layers, we have a woman whose actions, Jesus gives an interpretation of those actions. But you must understand What the woman is doing, you must first understand the parable and its meaning at the center. They are connected together in its meaning. And in the actions of Simon, and in the actions of the woman, we have a great contrast in the understanding of the grace of God. There's a woman who understands God's grace as it is revealed by Jesus in the parable, and she shows it in her action. Then there's Simon, who does not understand that grace and does not show that love by his actions. And the question that this parable puts before us this morning is, which understanding of that grace do you identify with? Because when Jesus puts the meaning of the parable to Simon, he's really putting the meaning of the parable to you, the reader. And the question he puts before us is, do you understand the grace of God? Let's begin with the parable at the center. As I mentioned, the parable is at the center of our text, and we have in this parable, beginning at verse 41, a moneylender that Jesus tells us about. A moneylender who has two debtors. One is owed 500 denarii, that is a year and a half worth of wages. The other owes 50, some 2 months worth of wages. And what does Jesus tell us that the moneylender does? Jesus tells us in verse 42 that when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, that's the wording of the English Standard Version. He canceled the debt of both. But I think the New Revised Standard Version does word it better. It words it, he graciously forgave them both. Now, the moneylender in this parable does it by his own initiative. He graciously forgave and canceled the debt. And why does he do so? Is it because of something that they did? The parable says nothing about anything they did. Is it because they were deserving? The parable doesn't say. Is it because they were nice people that he forgave the debt? It doesn't say. Is it because they've been so good to me? No mention. Is it because, well, the moneylender looks at them and says, well, they're working hard. They've done a good job. They're doing their best. I'm just going to forgive that debt to be nice to them. The parable doesn't say. Does the moneylender think, you know what? These two gentlemen, they have a nice family. And I just appreciate them so much. I'm just going to do this for them because they need help. The parable doesn't say that. It only tells us that the moneylender initiated this and said, he graciously forgave them both. And that's the center of our text, the marvelous grace of God, a grace that God initiates, a grace that isn't because of anything that anybody does or because somehow you're a good person that he likes you because you've tried your best and you've done the best. It's simply the grace of God, freely given, that comes unto a sinner. But now, as we look at the outer layers of the story, we recognize that within these outer layers, there is one who understands that grace because that grace has touched her heart. And there's another who does not understand it. We're told at the beginning in verse 36 that one of the Pharisees has asked Jesus to come into his house. And he went into the Pharisee's house and he reclined there at the table with the Pharisees. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment unto him. Now keep in mind what's happening here. We're told here in that verse, in the middle of verse 37, that this woman knows Jesus before she enters the room. She learns that he's in there and she wants to see him. Now we don't know how she came to know him. Did she hear him preach along the the road when she was outside? We don't know. Did somebody else hear Jesus preaching and teaching about the gospel of salvation and then go tell her? We don't know. But what we do know is that she knows something about him. She knows about who he is and what he has come to do. And when she hears that he is in this house, the house of the Pharisees, she goes into that place. And look how she is described in this verse. She's described as a woman of the city. She is described in the next phrase, who was a sinner. She is a known sinner in the city. And this known sinner in the city, this woman who has built a reputation for herself as a known sinner in the city, is going into a room where there are Pharisees all around the table, judgmental Pharisees around the table. In fact, the parable, the story, even gives us the thoughts of one of those Pharisees sitting at the table in verse 39. This Pharisee is thinking in his mind, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. The woman is entering a room with Pharisees who she knows is thinking just exactly that way. But she doesn't care, don't you see? She doesn't care what they are thinking. She doesn't care what people are saying about her. She doesn't care about the crowd or her reputation. All she cares about is Jesus is sitting in that room and she wants to go to him. And when she enters the room and the Lord Jesus, her Savior, is there, she goes to express her gratitude and her thanks for what Jesus has come to do for her. She takes an alabaster flask of ointment. Verse 38, and she stands behind him at his feet. She's behind him. She won't even make eye contact with him because she's not worthy. She stands behind him at his feet, weeping. She begins to wet his feet with her tears and wipes them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Some of the commentators on this text pick up on the fact that she's a woman of the city. She's a known sinner. They go along the lines of interpretation as saying, well, maybe this woman is somehow trying to seduce Jesus, or maybe she's trying to tempt Jesus in some particular way into her seductive and tempting and wicked and sinful lifestyle. Jesus is facing temptation here. But we know this is not the approach of this woman. For in the verses that follow on the other side of this parable, Jesus interprets and explains her actions for us. We see that beginning at verse 44. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Do you see how Jesus has interpreted her actions and what she has done in coming into this room? This woman, a known sinner, a sinner who the world around her would consider a great sinner, that is somebody you wouldn't even think that Jesus would touch, comes into a room full of Pharisees that she knows is going to judge her. She doesn't care about her reputation. She doesn't care what they think. She falls on her knees before her Savior out of gratitude and grace because she knows as a sinner she deserves the wrath and the judgment of God. And Jesus alone can take away her sin. And she came to either hear him preach. She came from the previous time to have perhaps someone tell her about that grace because they heard it from Jesus. And she goes into the room Because she knows that Jesus has taken away her sins, and she loves her Savior. Her actions show that she understands that marvelous grace of God. She comes into the room and she falls before her Savior, unworthy, and her actions say, "I worship you. I belong to you, Lord. I will identify with you." She identifies with his death and resurrection, which is still to come, that will forgive her sins, that will take away her debt. She knows that she deserves to die. But Jesus will take her death for her when he goes to the cross. And then we come to Jesus' explanation to Simon. Simon the Pharisee, we're not given his name in verse 38, but we're given his thoughts. He's described in verse 38 as a Pharisee, verse 39 as a Pharisee. His thoughts: "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus turns to him, verse 40, and he answers, and he knows his name. "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." And you see in Simon's response, he calls him a teacher. He knows that Jesus is a teacher. He wants to hear what the teacher has to say. So he's invited Jesus into his house to hear something from the teacher, because others have sought out the teacher for information and for knowledge. But he doesn't call him his Savior or his Lord. So Jesus goes on to tell the parable about the moneylender, about the two debtors, about the one who owed 500 denarii, about the other who owed 50, and how they could not pay. And the moneylender, by his own initiative, canceled the debt and graciously forgave them both. And Jesus asked Simon, "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon's answer is, well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? One reason this parable is neglected in the history of the church is because it seems so obvious, and Simon seems to reflect that in his answer. Well, that's an easy one. The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus then said to Simon, look how this is worded. "And he said to him," the end of verse 43, "you have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon. It's almost as if Jesus is saying to Simon, putting his arm around him and saying, "Okay, Simon, look at this woman and look what she's done." And he goes on to say, comparing her to him, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." The parable that Jesus tells is a parable about God's wonderful grace. A parable which is spoken right to Simon the Pharisee. Simon, the one who answers, "Well, I suppose the one who canceled the larger debt would be more grateful." Jesus wants Simon to see the superabundance of the grace of God. And do you see what Jesus is saying? And do you see how the parable interprets the outer layers? The woman's sins are not forgiven because she loved Jesus. The woman's sins were forgiven before she entered the room. It's not because of what she did in pouring out the perfume, in anointing the fume, or using her hair to dry up the oil and so forth. That is not why she is forgiven. She is forgiven because God's grace has come to her at God's initiative. Came to pay for our sins, that he will die on the cross and cancel her debt. And the woman knows it. And because she knows that she is so unworthy, she is overwhelmed in love and gratitude for her Savior. In verse 44, we're told that Jesus said, "She looked at me out of gratitude. I looked at her out of grace. She has attached herself to me because I have attached myself to her. She does all of this because of the grace that has been bestowed upon her." And that is why Jesus tells Simon in verse 44, "Look at this woman. Look at her, Simon. Look at her attachment to me. Look how this woman belongs to me. Simon, do you see? You have no relationship with me. For you, Simon, I'm not even worthy of your hospitality. You didn't think your life that you needed me. You think that because you're a Pharisee, you know the law, you've tried to live a good life, you're not like those terrible sinners out there in the world, you're already in. You think you're a good person. You think that you belong to the kingdom of God, but you have no relationship with me. Simon, for this woman, I am at the center of her life. Simon, I am not at the center of your life. Because the forgiveness of sins and the marvelous grace of God is not at the center of a Pharisee's life. This woman knows she's a sinner and deserves to die. She knows that her debt must be paid and she can't pay it on her own. She knows that she has a relationship with me. Jesus tells us at the end of verse 47, she loves him much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And then in the front of a room full of Pharisees, do you see what Jesus publicly says before an entire room of Pharisees that are judging her? Verse 48, your sins are forgiven. As the parable indicated, her sins were already forgiven. It was not her loving actions that she did that forgave her sins. Her actions only showed the love that she has for the Savior and the union that she has with her Lord. And now publicly, before those judgmental Pharisees, this woman with a city reputation is told by the Son of God that her sins are forgiven. In verse 49, the Pharisees now begin to judge Jesus. Then they who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" And then look what Jesus tells the unnamed woman, verse 50. "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Jesus takes the initiative. She was guilty of sin without hope. But he gave this woman with a lot of sin, with a great debt, his free grace graciously given unto her. He canceled her debt. And she walks away in peace with God, her sins washed away. He is in love with her. She is in love with him. And what Jesus will do for her on the cross. Do you see the contrast in our story? Do you see what is being revealed about the kingdom of heaven? Do you see how in this woman, you also, a sinner, should respond? Jesus has taken the initiative for you. His grace is poured out for you on the cross. Your sins are washed away and you belong to him. It should not matter what people say or how they look at you. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. That is the meat of the sandwich. The grace of God is freely given unto you. Because of what Jesus did for you, you will go to him. You will be with him. You will identify with his death and resurrection because he has forgiven you and you have a relationship with him. But this woman this morning, the parable and its meaning have been revealed. But there is also a Simon in our story. At this point, he doesn't understand. He is religious. He tries to be a good person and he keeps the law. He invites Jesus into his house. And Jesus even knows his name. Jesus tells a parable directly at him. He puts it right in front of him and he asks him even to interpret it. But in his heart, he does not think he needs Jesus. He holds on to his works. He continues to think he's a good person and doesn't understand the grace of God. And when Jesus said to him, "Look at her," Jesus exposed a relationship in Simon's heart that he does not have. The woman walks away with her sins forgiven. The Son of God says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Jesus does not say that about Simon, nor does he say it about any Pharisee in the room. And so our text ends with a question, a proclamation about the woman. She goes away in peace with God. But what about Simon? Does Simon the Pharisee ever get it? Throughout the rest of the Gospels, we're never told. The text leaves you with an uncertainty. Will Simon ever understand the grace of God like the woman? Question the parable puts before the readers and before you. Do you understand the grace of God like the woman? Or does the parable expose a relationship with Jesus that you do not have? Do you understand the parable of the two debtors? You understand the parable which reminds us of that marvelous grace of God. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this text by which we can see a contrast in your marvelous, superabundant grace. For Lord, we recognize that we are the sinners. We recognize, Lord, that we cannot pay this debt on our own. We recognize, Lord, that no matter how hard we try to be good people, or to try to do the right thing, no matter how much religious we practice, that will not save us. For Lord, our love for you must come out of our hearts. That we recognize, Lord, that you are our Savior, that you have wiped away our sins, that there's nothing we can do to know that salvation is ours except our Savior and what you did for us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to love you, that we would embrace you with all of our hearts, that, Lord, we would not be exposed in our unbelief, but that, Lord, that grace, that marvelous grace which has come, would overwhelm us and drive us to worship, to love, and to serve you each and every day. We thank you for this parable, Lord, and for what it puts before us. May your Spirit enlighten our hearts, our minds, to embrace that wonderful, marvelous grace that has been given. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.